Hey everyone, this is Jenny Schweigert, and you're listening to Keep It Real in Agriculture, a podcast designed for farmers, ranchers, agribusiness professionals, dietitians, those that are working in the food sector, even agriculture enthusiasts. What's the purpose? It's to provide you with examples of how stories are being shared, tackling those tough ag issues, and hopefully maybe we'll even inspire one of you to share your story. Get ready, because here we go. Welcome back to Keeping Ag Real, and thanks for listening. We're going to start this week's show out similar to last week, sitting on my front porch swing. Recently, four of my favorite Canadian women have really dug their heels into the issue of mental health in agriculture. Kim Keller, she really hit the stir button on Twitter, and it's resulted in numerous people sharing their stories and feeling like they're not alone and that there's others out there that can relate. Leslie Kelly and her husband Matt were just freaking brave to put themselves out there on Periscope and share their stories. And then Sandy Brock and Amy Matheson brought attention to the subject with a funny yet genuine YouTube episode. And while there's much work to be done in Canada, these ladies have definitely helped catch the attention of media and organizations. I'll be quite frank. Here in the U.S., I've been frustrated with the lack of awareness and even the lack of acknowledgement. So I went to a friend, a colleague, and the director of the National Education Center for Agriculture Safety, Dan Neenan. The discussion is dedicated to piecing together the puzzle and hopefully initiating major steps towards acknowledgement from organizations in the U.S. Before we get started, though, I do want to say thank you. There were so many of you that reached out after I shared my own story last week, and I can't even begin to say thank you. It was one of the very hardest things I have ever done. So difficult that last Saturday morning, I actually almost pulled the episode down. I'm beyond fortunate and blessed to have a dear friend who intervened and thankful for her support because the messages that I did receive made it worth opening up like that. Know that there's always someone out there to listen and talk with, and I'm always just a message away. And I'm more than happy to talk with anyone when needed. So, without further ado, here's the discussion with Dan.
I'm the director of the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety. So we do and create safety and health programmings for farmers, ranchers, and agribusinesses, as well as doing agricultural rescue programming for rural volunteer fire and EMS units.
Are you approached with mental health questions at all?
Not as much as what you might think. A farmer is what I would call a very proud, mostly dominant A-type personality. And to talk about weaknesses is something that they have a difficult time doing. We have a hard enough time getting them to talk about safety and health, much less mental issues.
One of the surveys that Leslie Kelly did is, what is your preference for help? And 55% indicated that they would prefer a support system, family and friends, versus 6% on a helpline or online counselor. And I believe that that was 400 to 410 votes that involved that particular question. Is that also what you expect or what you would have expected?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, it's going to be difficult for them to reach out for help and then to be able to reach out for help with somebody that they don't know. You know, those numbers don't shock me at all. But this is where it becomes important for the family and for the friends to notice that there are, you know, issues going on or that they may need to be able to talk and get their feelings out.
Is there a helpline that is for the U.S.?
States have, you know, since you called me, I started taking a look at, and there are a few states that have hotlines that are specific to the ag industry. But then there is also the suicide prevention hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. And while not specific agriculture related, you know, those folks are professionals and are meant to be able to talk and help people see through some of the issues that they are having.
One suggestion, kind of a peer-to-peer type hotline that is manned by farmers and ranchers. I don't know how successful that would be, because that goes back into being proud and wondering who it is you're talking to and whether they will truly be anonymous or not.
I would. You know, a farmer is a very proud individual, so talking about issues and problems are not something that they're used to doing. So to be able to get them to chat and open up, you know, is going to take a very special one-on-one conversation.
One question. I've heard a few different numbers. What is the suicide rate among farmers and ranchers in the United States?
That's not a statistic that I have to be able to give you. I think it's important for the family, you know, to be able to reach out and then to have that conversation, but also to realize that sometimes it's easy to miss that. You know, if you talk with the family after the fact, you know, things may become a little bit more 20/20, but in the real life stresses of what's happening, they may not notice ahead of time that anything's wrong. And, you know, sometimes the person will become at ease with themselves, and things that used to bother them doesn't bother them. If they were a very detailed, oriented person on the farm, you know, some things that were really important to them as to keep up and keep straight on the farm, that may wane, you know, to where it's not going to become as important as it once was. So subtle signs. And I think knowing that the farmer is under stress, knowing the financial condition of the farm, I think we also need to take a look at trends, you know, with what happened with the fires and, you know, with the hay and not being able to feed your crop puts a tremendous amount of stress onto the farmer. And it's these types of stressors that, you know, could cause somebody to act out. And what we want to do is to be able to let them vent and be able to talk about those issues. You hear some people say that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I think that's missing the boat. I think we need to realize that this is all encompassing for the person. And especially when you're talking about farming, because typically you've got one farmer and they're responsible for the whole farm. So when things aren't going well, or there's pressures because of the weather or because of, you know, the financial situation, it really puts the farmer at risk of, you know, the thinking of things aren't going the way that they want them to.
One of the questions that Leslie had asked is, where do you feel the most farm stress? 2% is death, 20% family, divorce, succession, 47% ag-related crops and weather issues, you know, and then 31% all of the above. So it's definitely, which I don't think is any different than any other type of situation, it's those things that you can't control.
That's exactly it. You can't control. And, but again, with it being all-encompassing, sometimes they're thinking that they're a failure. And even though it's the weather that's caused the crop to be in this condition, and it's the crop condition that has caused the cash flow issues that are there, it may not be traceable back to the farmer. It's more traceable back to the weather and how the crop turned out that year. I think that is what we need to talk about and how to make it to be understandable that it's not particularly just them, and that there are workarounds and solutions that we can work through, but we need you to be part of it.
So this year in September, you'll be hosting the 2017 National Farm Safety and Health Week. And that runs September 17th through the 23rd. The theme is putting farm safety into practice. Is mental health considered part of farm safety?
Yes, it is. In fact, Tuesday is Health Day, so each day will have its own representative target that we'll look at doing webinars with, and if folks look on our website, they'll find material specific to that topic. So Monday is going to be tractor safety. Tuesday will be Health Day. Now, health, you know, we're taking a look at the gambit from working with chemicals and cancer, but suicide prevention will also be, and mental health, part of what we need to talk about with the producers. I think you also have to take a look, you know, if you're not caring for things the way that you used to, and when you're out and working, if, you know, that's not there, the potential for having an incident is there as well. I think if they're talking to you, that it, you know, it's a good way for you then as a family member to chat, well, talk to me about that. Why do you feel like you're slowing down? Is it a normal age process? Are you having a medical issue, you know, that we should talk about? It leaves the door open to have a good conversation with them about what they're feeling and what's going on in their life.
One of the resounding themes I'm hearing here is that as a family, and possibly conferences, Farm Her just had a great conference. I know here in Illinois, we have the Women in Ag Conference in March. There's all sorts of events that both men and women can attend. Maybe that is where we need to start talking about this. Just as succession planning has, you know, recently in the last 3 or 4 years, before that, you didn't hear a whole lot about succession planning. And we have people like Jolene Brown now who have really done an excellent job in bringing that issue to light. And maybe that attending these events is one way to keep that conversation going.
I think that's an excellent way, because if you promote that you are going to have a mental health day for farmers, you know, the chances that you're going to get people walking in the door to be able to chat with you, some maybe, but chances are lower. But if you're going to have it where they're coming in for other things that have an interest, and while they're there talking to them about some of the mental health issues, I think you're going to have a much better buy-in from them.
Who would be, you know, the ideal speaker, ideal candidate to discuss?
I think somebody who's had some issues and that's been able to work through them is somebody to take a look at. I think you also need to take a look at a family member of somebody that has committed suicide. I am a paramedic, and I have responded to calls where people have taken their own lives, and to see the devastation in the family members and the anger, the hurt, you know, the why. And I didn't see this, or, you know, again, after a few days, you know, that maybe they say, you know, maybe there were some subtle signs that I missed. Mm-hmm. So suicide doesn't just affect the person taking their life. It affects their family. And it leads to a whole different conversation, you know, as to, you know, how do you want your family to be able to remember you? Mm-hmm. Having the conversations, you know, that need to take place. Good place, I think, for people to start talking may be their own physician. You know, there is the confidentiality that's there, you know, between doctor and patient. If they're having mental issues, there's a good chance that they may have physical issues going on as well, you know, that they're feeling lethargic or not feeling up to par. So it's a good way to be able to get in and talk to a professional that may be able to help, or referrals that can get the help that they need.
That is another point that I want to bring up. So last week's podcast, I talked about my own personal experience with mental health, and the first, I guess, life occurrence where I did need help. I thought I needed help, but I really wasn't sure, and I was even embarrassed to tell my own husband. So I did go to a physician. The physician ended up deciding he wasn't sure if I needed to be treated or not, which was a huge blow to my pride, and I didn't want to get help. Eventually, I did receive help. Do you think that the medical community is even aware of the mental health challenges that we face in agriculture?
If they are a small town physician, they should be very familiar with it. If you're going into a bigger community, you know, for your healthcare needs, they might not be as in tune to that. Another good person to chat with is a priest or a minister. They've got the ear to be able to listen. And the biggest thing is that, you know, advice is just that. It's advice. It's not somebody telling you what to do. It's somebody that's maybe seeing things in a different perspective that can help you see in a different perspective.
And provide other options.
Yes.
Instead of choosing the permanent option. So the last question that Leslie Kelly had asked on Twitter was, what is your current stress level? Right now, there are so many weather-related stress issues throughout the United States, and I'm sure in Canada as well. 20% said minimal stress, 55% a lot, but I can manage, 11% sent drowning, unsure what to do, 10% don't want to talk about it. Yep. Is there anything from those numbers that kind of sticks out to you at all?
You know, as you were going through those numbers, you know, what I think of when you start talking about those numbers is what type of farmers. You know, right now you've got dairy farmers that are working from sun up to sundown, and, you know, when you're taking a look at what they're getting back for their milk check, they're breaking even or they're even losing a little bit. And, you know, I would think to them, you know, what the first thing that comes to my mind, and it happens to me, I'm not a farmer, but there's sometimes that my schedule controls me. I don't control it. And how much harder can I work? You know, so if you're putting in all these long hours, you know, with your inputs, and then, you know, when it comes to receiving the return on your investment, it's not there. And again, that's not necessarily something that the farmer can control, is the price that they're getting, you know, for the products that they receive. So I can see that as becoming a stressor. When you talk about the percentage of folks that don't want to talk about it, that's kind of the folks that worry me just a little bit. Now, some of that may be you're a stranger and you're asking me a question and I don't feel comfortable with that, but some of that might be so overwhelming that I can't talk about it. And that's the person that I think needs to have somebody to have an outlet or to be able to vent and to express what their frustrations are, and somebody that can be able to come back and have a conversation. I can tell you that with the ambulance service that I ride with, we have a person who has anxiety issues. And when we get there, you know, try to get down on their level and just have a conversation in a nice level tone. And the spouse is frustrated, you know, and I can't believe this is happening, and they called you, and, well, doing that doesn't take down their anxiety level. No. It ratchets it up, you know, a couple percentage points. So finding that right person that has a good ear and can provide sound advice is important.
Very much so. I like the mentioning of a physician as well as a pastor or a minister as someone that you can go to. Is there anything maybe that we haven't covered that you feel is pertinent to this conversation?
Well, I think sometimes pressures come from the spouse may not know that there's financial issues, and that may be a pride issue. And so that takes out the number one person, or at least in my book, you know, if I have stressors at work, the first person I'm going to be chatting with is my wife. And so if there's, you know, issues that the farmer may be holding back, that, hey, the farm's starting to have some financial difficulties because he doesn't want the wife to worry about it, or vice versa, you know, if it's the wife that's the farmer, it takes out the number one person that you can chat with about what your issues and problems are. So if that's the case, you're going to need to actively find that next person that you can chat with, or bring your spouse up to date as to what's going on so they can be there and be supportive of what some of the issues are.
And have that heart-to-heart, mm-hmm. not blame conversation that you're
exactly.
both in it together.
And exactly.
You can work through it together.
Yep. You have to put forth that effort. And, you know, sometimes when there's despair, that's the hardest thing to do, is mm-hmm. to take that first step.
Well, thank you for joining us today. This is definitely an issue that I intend to continue the conversation with others throughout the country. Is there a website that you can direct folks to and social media handles?
I'm not a social media. I serve social media, but I guess I don't have that for you. To be able to do a Google search, you know, about, you know, stress and what causes stress and what you can do to relieve it. And, you know, that would be a good first place. But, again, having a conversation with a physician, you know, with a pastor or minister is a great first place to start.
Very good. Well, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
Well, thank you for taking it and making it. It's a hard issue to talk about, you know, especially if you're dealing with a family member of somebody who's lost their life. It's difficult to talk about, and it's difficult for the family, you know, when they're receiving folks, you know, at the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to talk about what happened.
It's something that really, I think, if people think about, would make an impact on their... All right, well, thanks for listening to this week's Keeping Ag Real show and joining Dan Neenan for today's talk about mental health and agriculture. There's three takeaways that I hope each of you hear throughout the interview. The first one is, our starting gate is going to be grassroots, and it's going to take our community, it's going to take a village to get this conversation going to the point where we're making changes and positive changes. The second is starting conversations in your home and paying more attention to those in your home who are farming. And then finally, you know, I think conferences are an excellent way to offer a session about mental health without, you know, making the entire event about mental health. And I think that that's a way that people would be more inclined to go and listen and learn more. Thanks again for listening, and until next week, keep it real.